All right, welcome in, folks, to the Camping King Podcast. I'm your co-host, Mike, along with Chuck here.
What up, Mikey boy?
What's going on, Chuck?
Just living, man.
Yeah, post-hurricane living, yeah.
Yeah, for those who don't know, we had a, like, Category 1 hurricane that...
High-end, yeah.
That came kind of... It didn't come out of the blue because it was always coming to, like, South Texas, but
yeah,
just kept inching up, and then all of a sudden it was here, and we were fucked, and it was really windy, and everybody lost power, and I think over a week later, there's still, I think, 100-something thousand people without power. We got ours back on Saturday. Thankfully, we were able to couch surf during the week, yeah. But and you got yours back, what, Thursday
or Friday? Somewhere in there. Yeah, it was brutal, man. I mean, for Houston, every time a storm hits Houston, I'm just like, well, break out the generator now. Like, the power, like, infrastructure is so bad. I'm just, every time there's, like, lightning, I'm like, oh, there's a million people without power. I don't know what it is.
Oh, and we were at the condo, I think, Friday. And we got power at the condo Friday. And a little storm rolled in. And then all of a sudden, power went out for like 10 minutes. But thankfully, it went back on. But it was like, it's just, you know, profits over people,
yep,
was center point. And
deregulation, you know, which I'm not always for regulation, but some regulation, my God.
Yeah, I was having a good conversation with a friend of mine who's, I would say, at the least, a hard right-wing person, like at the very least, who's typically anti-government, and, you know, like MAGA Republican. And we had a really good conversation because, you know, he grew up in Houston, and we're talking about, you know, he said when it was HLNP before deregulation, like after storms and all that, we didn't have a lot of the same issues, and power came back quicker. Now there's probably a lot more power going into the, you know, putting the stress on the grid, but with deregulation, like, and really CenterPoint's kind of got a monopoly on it. There's no incentive for them to improve,
yeah,
the infrastructure, take care of trees, like do anything. And then,
yeah, their only incentive is public opinion. Like, they don't give a shit.
But they don't even care. It doesn't matter about, yeah, a public opinion.
But in reality, because they don't care, because they're just going to keep on, yeah, keeping on. Like, this hurricane isn't going to impact their bottom line. Yeah.
Yes. $6 billion, like, revenue or profit, and major. Well, if you look at their major, who they donate to the campaigns, Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott, guess who's not going to. He's not gonna
yeah, you don't like the hand that feeds. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, but we'll see if anything changes from that. But our infrastructure is just so bad in Texas.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm same thing. I give me less government, let people govern themselves, but public utilities, you know, there's a reason why,
as Flint, Michigan, how
they
that
shouldn't be privatized.
But you know, it forced me to buy a generator. I got a generator now for the next time, so I can run fans, I can run the fridge. I quit having to throw food out every 3 weeks because we have a storm. But
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Well, then that's the second time in a month, basically, or
yeah,
2 months,
yeah,
that we've been out without power for 6 days,
and it's, you know, just the start of hurricane season, so it's like, buckle, yeah, up, yeah,
buckle up, buttercup.
That's right. I don't know if you can tell, but
sleep,
I
sleep tight
myself just right where you can't see Quinn Ewers in the background for college football.
Perfect. Perfect.
Not that I like Michigan either, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Just cover up all everybody and
all of that. Just all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of college football, though, now.
Yeah, we're coming out of a hurricane, and we have hit a blessed time for the first time in a decade. We
major
have,
life event for Mike and I.
This is big for me because I was playing this all in college. Chuck was playing it back in the day. College football, by EA Sports is back out. It dropped yesterday at 4 p.m. I think I played it for 8 hours, like combined between release yesterday and like this afternoon. It's amazing. It's got some drawbacks, but it's better than having absolutely nothing. And I love the game. It's hard as shit, but I love it.
Yeah, and I've always been a college football, college basketball over NFL and over NFL and NBA.
For sure.
So like back in the day, there were three games I always had, and four when like MLB The Show stuff came out, but it was NCAA football, NCAA basketball when they had that, NCAA March Madness.
Bring that back.
And then FIFA. And that's what they need to bring back next, because I'd love that playing, you know, be like a small school and make the tournament.
Loyola Chicago going all the way. Like, that'd be amazing.
And like, it's fun. I mean, as you know, what's really cool now, and as a college athlete, we didn't have this option at the time. And there's no college soccer game, so I would be in it anyways. But like, how fucking cool would that be? Like, you know, like, I plan as ULM, and Dylan knows like half the players, you know, just from being at the school and being an athlete at the school. So like, it's, you know, how awesome would it be that A, you're a college football player and you're in a game, you get like $600 and a copy of the game, you know, like just it's pretty cool how that it came back and with the NIL when it opened up for that.
Yeah.
So which was the first year that you played it, and what platform?
Well, it was PlayStation 2 for sure. It was the first time. But I didn't start getting into football until like 2006 or 7. So this is probably the 08 version. I can't remember who was that. Can't remember who was on the cover. Maybe it was the year that Alabama won and Mark Ingram was on the cover. I can't remember. But it was in the mid, early 2000s. Yeah.
So I wish I still had this one, and I still have a few other PlayStation 2 and 3 and 4, but the first one I had was NCAA Football 1998 with like Danny Werfel from Florida on the cover. I think it was Danny Werfel, somebody from Florida.
Probably.
And it was, I think that's the first one. It was on PlayStation 1. I still have that disc. And I should try to pop it in, because I do have a PlayStation 1 and a PlayStation 2 and a PlayStation 3 and a PlayStation 4 and a PlayStation 5.
Oh, yeah.
So I have all of them. And then the last one, I have the PlayStation 1, I do have the last one, which is NCAA 14 with Denard Robinson. Is that who it was? The Michigan?
Yeah, Michigan. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
And then. I had 13 with Robert Griffin III from Baylor.
Oh yeah.
So like, those were the memorable ones, because of the last two ones, and then the 1998, because like I was playing this in college. Like, we had, when I went from Genesis to PlayStation 1, I remember the two games that I had was NCAA Football 98 and then Grand Theft Auto, which was like a Google Maps view with like a little tiny dude, like the building is insane. Quite,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first one I had was 07. It was when Reggie Bush was on it. Shit went down about his shit. But yeah, that was.
And now he wouldn't even be in trouble.
No, not he's getting his Heisman back, man. Yeah.
Well, that's what I heard. They reinstated him with everything. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I can remember playing that. And then I think I played like 20. Yeah, I guess it was the 2013 one or the 2012 one. There was one where, unfortunately, it was somebody from Texas on the cover. And I just remember, I just ripped that game for like 2 years, 20 straight national championships. Like, I'm so excited the game's back, but I can't password shit in the new one.
Yeah. Yeah. So the new one. So we both got the deluxe edition, which was
pre-order.
Released on Monday the 15th, which is pretty much 4 days before the disc release on the 19th, even though they say three. But
honestly, I thought it was Tuesday. I was surprised when I texted you that it was.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
Well, and that's the thing, when I saw it Oh, when I bought it, so I had bought the disc version, and then when you said it was you're getting it the 16th, I canceled that on Best Buy and I went on PlayStation on Saturday, and I bought the deluxe version, and it popped on my screen like starting to download, and then when it, I was like, oh, am I gonna get? Wow, I'm gonna get this now, and it was like 2 days and like so many hours. I was like, wait, that's Monday at like 3. And I started Googling, and I was like, oh. And then I never texted you. And then what, on Sunday, you text me. I was like, dude, we get it tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's already downloaded on mine.
Yeah.
So
what do you like about it?
So number one, nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because I've played this game since like 1998, and I've had it on every platform. I love what I really like about this version is a couple of things. So like when like I'm playing as ULM and I've been to, you know, like one or two games a year over the last 3 years, and it's like the entrance is the same, even for a little, for a small D1 school like ULM, the music is what they're playing, the entrance, the fight songs, even, you know, I'm looking through like the stadium is spot on, the lack of fans in the stadium is spot on.
Now that's a cool perk of the game. The more you win, the more the stadium gets filled.
Yeah. And so like the only thing I wanted to see, I'm looking to pay attention, because right behind their field is the track stadium, and like I'm trying to see if you could see like the pole vault pit and everything we're doing with jump, but I haven't seen that yet. But it's so just like all the, and the visuals, like everything, like it's so realistic. It's insane.
Yeah.
And then like in the gameplay, the running is super smooth. The players feel like heavier. So it feels like real people that you're moving, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I love the Dynasty, and then I like the Road to Glory, which I haven't started yet, but that's, you know, I would usually do the Road to Glory and create a player, and that's how, you know, that would mostly what I do over, and that's what I do in FIFA, and that's what I do in most of the sports, the MLB The Show. So I didn't do a ton of Dynasty, and a lot of my friends did like the online Dynasty stuff and the online leagues, like, but I think that was more younger generation too, like when you guys started playing. But like I had started playing 98 when there wasn't that.
Yeah.
And then when they added like the, you create a player and go through all that, and you started off like as like a high school senior, and then, you know, you were recruited, and so that was fun, because that was, so like I always did that, but this year I'm starting with the Dynasty and gonna build up a program, and then I'll go do the online Dynasty and then go do the, you know, Road to Glory or whatever at some point. But what, now a couple things. So what do you like, and then we'll do dislikes.
All the same as you. I love the nostalgia. I was debating as playing as like a smaller school and trying to build my way up, but I was like,
dude,
who am I kidding? I started off at Texas A&M. The stadium looked amazing. The crowd work, all of that, they took the time to add all of the detail. And I've heard they did that pretty much for every major school, all 140, whatever. Like they took their time. They knew that this was going to be big. Even the first day there were like 700,000 people playing it online. Like that's how crazy big this is. But yeah, nostalgia. Love the Dynasty mode. I did the create your player back in the day when I used to play, but you know, you win, you do your, back in the day, you did like your 3 years or whatever, and then you moved on. Then you could export it to Madden and play it that way. But you know, the new Madden's not out. Now it's like 8 years of eligibility with NIL or whatever. And like, whatever.
So COVID years and redshirt. Yeah. And
now I'm all about the Dynasty mode, you know, because I was big in that back in the day. But yeah, just trying to shake the rust off, you know, trying to get used to the new gameplay. And it's, for a lot of people, you know, it's not a recover of Madden. Like it's its own game. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it, is that it's they took the time. Yeah.
And what are some of the things that I wouldn't say you don't like, but that so far you think aren't need improvement or that are hard?
Hey, right up, passing is impossible.
Yeah,
almost.
It's
like
hard.
It's really like almost every pass I throw is a pick or like it's swatted away. Yeah, I'll get lucky on one or two here or there, but it's brutal. So it's, I'm just rushing for like 300 yards a game. It's ridiculous. No, other than that, man, it's, you know, they put a lot of detail into it. You know, the graphics are funny on some things. Oh, this is one thing I was going to talk about. Are the commentators talking too much for you?
That is one thing. I don't think the commentary is very good so far.
Is it repetitive? Yeah. It just seems like,
yeah,
like they're talking to me like every play and I'm just like, dude, shut up.
Yeah, I, you know, it's funny because I, the AI in it is a little intuitive though on some, like, you know, I, my running back like runs for 200 or 300 yards a game, and you know, it's like, you know, after he scored a touchdown last game, and they're like, this is why he's a leading Heisman getter. He's, you know, the, he's 50 back and leading the country and rushing. And, you know, so that was cool that they brought in kind of like the real time data, which you can do with like the advancements, like since 2014.
Yeah.
It is a little repetitive, and but it was interesting. There were some glitches too, like I was up like when I was playing on freshman mode, and the score I showed you, I was up like,
yeah,
it was, I was up 80-0, and I kicked an onside kick, and they're like, the commentators were like, this is a perfect time, you know, to do it, you're down late in the fourth quarter, and I'm like, I'm up 80-0, like, so you know, I think part of the early release online is that you can find the bugs, you know, it's almost like we're getting a beta 3 or 4 days early, so they can add updates and patches and things like that when people start.
There was already an update today. Like when I went to start, it was like, oh, update in progress. So like, yeah, I think you're right. I think it is just trying to hammer out the last couple of bugs and like player use, but yeah.
Yeah, and I was reading a lot about stuff of how it is, which I haven't encountered this yet because I'm seen can run all day, but like how if you're running the same plays, the defense starts to, you know, to like follow like the patterns you're doing.
On.
But
yeah.
But I mean, I've been pretty successful with running all the time.
They got ran the same running play like 6 times in a row and picked up 6 first downs.
Yeah, I mean, I do the same plays over and over again, and on the running, it seems fine. As you mentioned, passing is super hard, and which is fine because, you know, I never really was a big passing person, and so I played with Nebraska, like, because I used to play with them and going to college in the Midwest, and a lot of my friends where I were Nebraska fans. And I love like the option when they would run the option all the time. So that I would play with Nebraska, or if I changed like U of H or something, I would install Nebraska's offense and I would do, cause I would just run the option.
Yeah.
And I didn't pass much, but when I tried to play online, it didn't work because against the computer, I could just run the option. When I played against people, they knew if I was on the left side of the field, I was going to run the option, you know,
to the long side.
To the long side. Yeah. And then like, so when I play online, they would just like stack all their people over there or shift the line over there. And then, you know, I couldn't pass because I never, you know, I had a shitty Nebraska quarterback and I never passed like when I played the computer.
Yeah.
So I like my literal strategy has always been 4 downs. I'm going to run either 3 or 4 downs. And maybe throw a screen, and that's, I've done that same strategy forever.
Yeah,
but it's,
maybe it's just super,
you gotta be a little more
I don't...
diverse online though, I think.
Yeah, because
the same thing, I have a strategy when I play FIFA, and when I try to play people online, I get fucking smoked.
Yeah.
Because when they shut me down, I have no other answer because I can do this against a computer.
Oh, those are the people that play like 80 hours a day. Like, hey, I'm not 12 anymore. I can't just do that. Maybe, and you know, you got me thinking, maybe I just need to change my playbook, because I was thinking, I was like, because I was looking at playbooks and all that stuff, and the way A&M is set up is pro style, and pro style is run, pass, short, blah, blah, you know, all that shit.
Yeah.
Maybe I just need to go to the spread. I don't know. But it's been driving me crazy. And then defense is brutal. If I get a guy at the line, then I can stop him, but I'm always getting, like, taken out for, like, shots along the middle, and the guy just runs for, like, 40 yards.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing on defense is, and you were the one that told me this strategy, because I used to play like free safety, and I would either try like to time a blitz through a hole, or I would hang out and wait for them to lob a pass in the air, and I'd go get it and try to pick it off. I tried to do that at first, and like it didn't work, and so I just switched to like I think like playing like left defensive end or something, or outside linebacker, depending what scheme.
Yeah.
And all I do is kind of rush on the edge. And then what I like is it says like to swat or spin like with the right stick. So like, I've been able to do that. I've started to be good at that, where I get engaged and I hit it and I spin out of it or club out of it. And then I've gotten a bunch of sacks recently.
Yeah.
By just doing that. And then, but the only thing is, when they run it, or if I don't get to them and they do a pass where someone runs a slant or a square in, then the guy catches it and runs for 40 yards because no one can catch him.
No.
You know, and if a guy has a step, there's, you know, he never tires. That's what's interesting. Like, you can't catch him.
No.
And, you know, or it's
the guy will catch it like just ahead of me, and like before I switch to the guy behind him, like you can see like he's catching up, and then I switch to him and he starts slowing down, and I'm like, what the I don't understand it.
I'm glad that's happening with you, with like better athletes than ULM, because I'm like chasing down a guy from like James Madison today, and they're like I can't catch him. I'm like, okay, it's not like I'm playing Ohio State. So, and then just some of the, I played like Texas last night, and I was playing on freshman mode. So it was, but I won big.
You're and it was like, it.
Well, and it was the whole kind of thing was like in the pregame thing, they were like, oh, number 7 wide receiver is like Heisman candidate, and like they're going to go to him often. And they ran the ball, like if they'd have 3rd and 10 and they would run the ball and I would stop them. I'm like, why are like, it didn't make sense sometimes what the computer was doing. From like a football standpoint.
Yeah.
So I think that's where on Reddit I've seen the biggest complaints about like the computer stem stuff, like the play calling, and then also like, you know, Georgia being like 4-7 or like, you know, I think I was reading in some guys like dynasty, offline dynasty, Georgia was 0-6 in his thing. It's like, in no world would that happen. And they lost to like FCS East or something, you know, like it's like the same, because, and we were talking offline, but like, even like ULM is like one of the worst programs, and they're like 75. Like they should be like 55 or 60, you know, but they don't want to put, you know, like their quarterback, whose real name is General Booty. He's from Allen, Texas.
That's a guy. Yeah.
He's like almost like an 80. It's like, I'm like, how, you know, or he's like 78 or something. And like that's in, like, his stuff is good. I'm like, okay, I've watched, you know, like, I've watched these guys play. It's not, but no offense, but they have, like, there's too high rate. There's too much. It's not like ranking an NFL team of 70 playing a 90 and they're going to have a chance to beat them. But like ULM playing at Texas being like 75 and Texas being like 85, wouldn't it, you know, in the game, they would never win. But the computer simulation, ULM could win because they're only like, they're not that much lower.
Yeah.
And like,
it's almost too balanced. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because in what world, like, you know, yeah, the AI isn't great because I think every week that I play, like the top five all lose.
Yeah.
Like the first week, Texas lost to Colorado State. And I was like, oh, yeah, oh, that's not realistic. And then like all these other, like Ohio State lost to like Iowa at home or something like that, or Ohio. Yeah. And I was just like, no fucking way that's real. But they'll figure it out. They'll dial it in. But yeah, it's just funny to see.
Yeah, and that should be an easy like AI update patch, and you can make it more blue bloody in the simulation stuff.
And like, they probably don't want it that way to start, right? They want people to all feel like, oh, we're all having fun, and then maybe they'll dial it in. I don't know. But have you opened your packs?
Yeah,
like it came with like the free packs of like players and stuff. You got to take a look at that.
I don't even know where to do that.
You have to go to the ultimate team because that's where all the packs are. And it'll let you like rip through them, and then you get to pick and all that. I got lucky. Joe Burrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can, like, there's Dynasty, and then there's like Road to Glory, and then like Ultimate Team is like you can have any player from any team on your team if you like pull their card, and then like you can go up against like other people's like fantasy teams. Yeah, it's crazy.
So, do you have to play that though online, like?
I think so. I've only opened the cards.
If I got Joe Burrow, if I opened Joe Burrow, could I put him on my ULM Dynasty team?
No, you got to play Ultimate. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because that's what I was talking to a guy that I work with, and he's also big. He was trying to be actually a professional gamer a few years ago, and he does a lot of Ultimate Team stuff. And I was like, because he was trying to do kind of professional gaming. And I was like, I've never even opened that. Like, I don't know what that does. And I'm like, isn't that the microtransaction stuff?
Right. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And challenge to that, because I think they only had Joe Burrow rated as an 85. And I'm like, guy may be one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in college football. I don't know about 85.
Yeah. Breeze through national championship, but you know,
easily. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of fun with that. I mean, well, so yeah, for the fans that are still listening, we will be streaming or trying to stream a game between Chuck and I at some point online. So watch out for that, because we're gonna have a blast. I've been watching nothing but like these guys on Twitch, like the lead up, because they had like LeBron versus somebody else playing, and and two comedians, Shane Gillis and Dan Soder. I was laughing my ass off in that game. That was so funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that soon.
Yeah. But what other than that, because that's pretty much going to take up my time probably for the rest of this week. What have you been watching?
So, yeah, I guess we should talk a little bit about TV. Of course, I watched only the first episode of The Bear. And then I'm up to date on House of the Dragon.
Same.
And then I really haven't watched much besides older movies. So I have started running pretty much daily again. So when I run, I listen to podcasts. Yes. And so I've been listening to the Rewatchables, and they had like a whole series on like that was just released that they did for something else and they got possession of it back, but like the best of 1999. So you know, a lot of Rewatchables from that year, and so I've been watching those movies. And then also they did like sports movies. So they were talking about Slapshot and For the Love of the Game and a couple other different sports movies, so I've been watching those, and kind of got in this like Back to the Future has been on Netflix, so I've been watching all three of those. So it's like I haven't had much time to invest in like the newer stuff. So like the only thing, I guess why I've only watched one episode of The Bear, which was one of my favorite episodes of TV. It was amazing. We haven't talked about The Bear yet.
Yep.
And then I'm up to date on House of the Dragon. So
nice.
What about you?
Yeah, The Bear, I think I'm halfway through episode 4. I paused it to play football last night. What else? I finished The Young Pope on HBO with Jude Law's The Pope. It's kind of like The Regime. You kind of don't know where the show's going, but it actually turned out it's a really great visual show. Jude Law kills it as The Pope. But it's just an interesting look at like Catholicism and the Vatican and how all that's political and stuff. It was really good. And then we've been watching Presumed Innocent on Apple TV.
Yeah, I heard that was really good.
10 stars, 9 stars. It's amazing, dude. I told my parents about it. They binged all of it in 2 days. Like, that's how good this shit is. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal is really good. It's a good legal thriller. What else? House of the Dragon, I'm a caught up just like you. Yeah, The Bear. Yeah, you got to get caught up on The Bear because there's a lot going on. I'm gonna calm down from a day of work by turning on The Bear and then just get stressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard to watch that because how stressful it is. And we haven't talked about it, have we?
No, we haven't. So
I don't, you know, we won't talk about it too much, but like it's probably one of the most, episode 1 of season 3 is probably one of the most like experimental episodes of TV I've ever seen.
For sure.
And there's very little like talking.
Yeah.
In that,
it's 90%
dialogue.
Visuals, 10% dialogue. And, yeah.
But you learn about Carmi's background.
Yes.
And what made him the chef he is today in the show. And it reminds me of like our improv teacher. So anybody listening that cares, level 2 improv. He tells us like in every class, like show us, like show me. You don't always have to say like, you know, you're packing for a trip, like put shit, you know, in the suitcase and pull stuff out of the closet. Like you don't say like I'm packing for a trip and I'm pulling the shirt out, you know, like
act it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like and this is there's obviously words, you know, in this episode and dialogue, but it's very little and it's more powerful the nonverbal of what we see. It's like 37 minutes of brilliance. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea.
Nope.
But it's like, it's just art and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I tried to explain to someone who hadn't seen The Bear and I'm like, you've got to watch.
It's like reading the last sentence of a book. You're not going to understand anything.
So.
Yeah, it was great because you get to see him go through like his experience. Like you knew that he worked at these restaurants, but you didn't really see him outside of working for Joel McHale and just getting told that he should just fucking jump off a bridge every day at work. You get to see him with like the other chefs and like how he tried to tell the other guy who was the pastry chef, like he was like, hurry the fuck up. And the head chef's like, yo, keep it down. Like, that's not how we talk around here. Just the different dynamics of kitchens and things like that. The very unusual way to open a season.
I probably should watch more.
So. It gets good as it gets going. But did I tell you what I finished watching? Clipped on FX, which was about the Lakers.
Clippers. I think we talked about it the last podcast.
Did we? Yeah. Well, we can skip that because it was a skippable series. Other than Al Bundy playing Donald Sterling. I did watch.
I think that's what you said last podcast.
I did watch a movie. I don't know if it was you and Blanca that recommended it, but the movie Hitman on Netflix.
No, it wasn't us.
So it's based in New Orleans, and it's about a college professor who teaches at the University of NOLA.
Is Nick Cage there?
Say what?
Was Nick Cage there?
He's right. Like that's National Treasure 6.
Oh, sorry.
See, He helps out like the police doing like murder for hire stings where he does like the technical stuff. And then he gets drawn in when somebody gets suspended. And he becomes this really successful like fake hitman who like gets people to like say they want to kill people. And turns out like it's a true story based on a guy who worked for Houston, for HPD in Houston and Harris County.
Oh, wow.
And he's called the greatest hitman of Texas who's never killed anybody. He's got like 60 convictions. It's crazy. Yeah. So it's a decent movie. You might watch it. I had some good laughs. Yeah.
Nice. That's Glenn Powell.
Yeah, Glenn Powell's in it. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's like him going through like all these different costumes as hitmen. So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to give it a go.
Yep. And then the big one, I guess, other than and I've been watching The Boys, which the season finale is Thursday. And that show's just wild as usual. I mean, there's always like they always do some cringe shit that everybody's like, oh geez, oh what a good show. But yeah, the season finale is that it's Thursday, and then House of the Dragon is just low key really good.
It is, you know, and they're doing it's nice to have this show, and I think, you know, this season's been really great as they've been going to different areas, you know, that we've seen in Game of Thrones. So the last couple episodes, so episodes 4 and 5, I think, you know, everybody is trying to gather their arm, you know, the Rhaenyra and Aegon are, you know, trying to gather their support. And, you know, they're going in the Riverlands and House Tully and Harrenhal and the Baratheons. And, you know, so they're going all around the Seven Kingdoms. And we're getting more talk about Song of Ice and Fire. And it's like I tend to like those kind of episodes. Yeah, they've actually been really good mix of palace intrigue, you know, and talking in rooms, and also with dragons and also action. So like, you know, the last episodes we've seen, you know, Rhaenys killed, her dragon killed, and Malice was a dragon, Malice.
Yeah.
You know, and we see Aemon get roasted and broken.
Aegon just got marshmallowed over his dragon. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question on that. So Aemon like just toasted them both on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I think he's trying to get his, you know, him and Daemon are very similar, and there's probably going to be a Dragon Bowl, like, you know, the Clegane Bowl from Game of Thrones with Aemon and Daemon, because they're very similar, and Daemon's trying to build support for him to be king. He's telling everybody to call him king.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, king consort. And he's like, you can leave that last part out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's building his own army.
Yeah. Yeah, his own claim to the throne, right? Rhaenyra's pissed off at him. He's like, I tried to do what was best, but maybe he's doing it for himself. It seems like he is right now. But even in the book, like that, I think, was the biggest battle in Blood and Fire, I think is what it was, was the fight between Daemon and Aemon, right? Who are basically twins. They look a lot alike.
Mm-hmm.
Even Daemon sees like himself walking around with an eye patch in Harrenhal.
Yeah.
So like there's some like identity crisis stuff going on there, but that's the big battle. And I think that's what it's all leading up to. And of course there's Rhaenyra and and Allison and all this other side stuff. But I think the lead up is all to this Daemon and Aemon stuff. But yeah, I think he toasted his brother on purpose. The guy wants the throne, let's be honest. And he's got two birds with one stone, and he just roasted him. Yeah.
Yeah. And him and Christian Cole have been plotting. And then, you know, what's going to irritate me is you know, Christian Cole keeps picking everybody but Allison, and she's going to go back, you know, she's going to end up like fucking him again.
Oh, of course.
And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, I think Eamon's next in line. It's like, any other person I would know in Allison's situation be like, oh, yeah? Oh, where were you whenever the baby was killed?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on, guys. The hand derelict the duties, like,
yeah.
Eamon roast him. Or, you know, like, there's vengeance to be had.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You're Allison, but
yeah, she, yeah, he knows which horse to back. And, you know, it's funny because she's like, what happened to loyalty? And I was watching with Jackie, and I was like, I wanted to be like, if I was Sir Cole, I'd be like, you called me the other night, lady. I didn't call you. Like, you had the boot, not me. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, all of that going on. I don't know. Like, the dude at Heron Hall, I don't trust at all. Like, the guy that's like leading it, he's in Death of Stalin. He's like a traitorous, he's like a devious guy in Death of Stalin. So I'm wondering if he's going to turn out to be devious and like betray Damon somehow. But
the only people I would trust would be the Starks, because they,
for sure,
they never break their word or whatever they do. I mean, like, Ned, and you know, takes John Stark as his son, and even, you know, basically tells his wife, you know, he made that vow to what, his brother or his sister, Lyza Stark or whatever, that, I mean, they never, everybody else just fucks over everybody else. Like, or whoever comes to them and says, bend the knee, they're like, okay,
yeah,
you're the one that's here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When Rhaenyra's son is at the Twins, and they're like, what about Vhagar? He could burn this whole place down. And he's like, you know, I got a dragon like sitting right over there. They're like, yeah. Oh yeah. Like, so ridiculous. But, yeah, I do find it funny how in Game of Thrones, when, he brought Jon Snow back, and, Catelyn Stark was like, nope, get that bastard out of here. He's not mine. I want nothing with it. And then it was like Rhaenys, like the Lord of the Tides, like brought home a bastard child, and she's like, we'll raise him as our own. And like,
yeah,
where's this been all this time? Yeah. But yeah, no, it's funny. It's really great too. I love the dragon battle scene. They're just like going at each other's like chests and like ripping shit open and stuff like that. They're doing pretty good with the season. I wasn't as hyped for the season as I normally would have been, but it's turning out really good. I think they're doing it right.
Yeah, and I need to go back and probably watch the first five again, because, like, you know, when I watched Game of Thrones, I had no phones on, and you know, and this, like, I just been kind of second screening, so I missed stuff here or there. But the last two episodes I watched very intently.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's just, it's, I don't know. It's part of the Game of Thrones universe, and they went back to kind of the formula that seems to work.
Yep. I'll be interested if they stick to the book 100%. I think they've already deviated in some things, like the cheese and the blood, like the guy that killed the baby in the crib and all that stuff. But like, they keep mentioning like, oh, we need dragons, we have dragons below our feet and stuff like that. Like, is somebody gonna like wind up riding Balerion, who was like Aegon the First's like dragon? He's like twice the size of Vhagar. Like, the thing is huge.
Well, at the end of the episode, basically what Rhaenyra and her son were like, oh, let's start looking through books and see like where all the like bloodlines are at all these other families, and we'll bring them in to be dragon riders. And
the post,
like,
yeah,
the post stuff, but yeah, they had stuff about in, you know, next week, and it's like, of course, whenever you go in front of the dragon, you could die. You know, it's like, and so they're going to start bringing strangers like to the dragons. I'm sure people are going to get roasted, but
gotta be. Yeah. Like Slytherin, like how pure blood do they have to be before they can ride a dragon? Like, oh no, you got too much muggle in you. Burn. Like, so funny.
Yeah. Oh, this one's vaccinated. Sorry. That's what I think pure blood. Now you're like,
That's great. Oh man.
no.
Yeah. But I want more dragons. I do like the palace intrigue. I know sometimes I do feel like it drags in some places, but then it picks up. I don't know.
Yeah, it's.
Like, is it bad? I don't give a shit about Allison anymore. Like, she has no power.
Yeah, and that's where. And we haven't seen Otto Hightower, right? He was
No.
let go, and it's like, is the guy off the show now? But Allison is being, axed out of power. And then she's taken some magical gut cleansing drink. Do you think it's abortion? Was
Yeah,
it?
Jake had to call that one out for me. I was like, what the hell is that? And she was like, oh yeah, she's pregnant with Sir Cole's baby. And I was like, oh.
Didn't someone do that in like Cersei or somebody did that in Game of Thrones? They had like some special drink
Yeah, Cersei did,
to
or the redhead, Sophie Turner.
Oh yeah.
One of the Stark daughters, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's it yeah, I it's almost like the two main characters are being shifted and being
Yeah.
kind of I mean it's heavily focused on Damon and Aemon and
Well, yeah, let's be honest, Rhaenyra has had like some of the least amount of screen time. Like she was mourning for
yeah
like the first three episodes. Everybody's like, where's the queen? I don't know.
and now it's back. It's like, why won't they let me go fight?
But
Yes.
yeah. Any other thoughts on House of the Dragon?
No, it's really good. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, good shows.
Still a lot of great TV.
We've got July 27th is Comic-Con, I think, in San Diego, and they're expecting an announcement about season two of Silo, from what I've been reading, because they're doing a full panel, so I'm sure they'll have a trailer or something, to
Yeah.
show. And then Severance.
Shrinking season two is, I think, filming right now.
Yeah, I think it is. It did get picked up. Severance season two is coming out in
January
January.
17th.
So we got to wait 6 more months for that. But I'm just glad we have a date. Now I know what to look forward to.
Yeah. A lot later than I was expecting.
Agreed. Agreed. But Slow Horses come starts in 50 days and The Penguin in 53 days. So we got a couple of things
Yep.
coming up.
Perfect.
Yeah. But other than that, just gotta wait. So, if nothing else. Thanks for kicking it.
Nothing else for me.
Yeah, appreciate you kicking it, man. Thanks everybody for joining us. If you made it this far, tune in next week. We'll be talking more in depth about the bear, and I'll bring in a little bit about the boys closing and presumed innocent. I think the season finale is next week on that one, but that did get picked up for season two as well, with different actors. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, tune in next week. Check out the website. Check out the Instagram. We're still working on our TikTok, and we'll probably get a Twitch stream going here soon once Chuck and I figure out how to stream battle each other on College Football 25. So,
Yeah.
as Cousin likes to say,
Mahalo.